What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Milwaukee Sports Performance Podcast, where we talk about all things related to athletic performance, rehabilitation, and wellness. My name is Michael Falk, and I am joined today by no guest, just me again. I'm going to be talking about baseball injuries. This is something that's been going on a lot in Major League Baseball, and it's been getting a lot of publicity because of some of the big name pitchers that are getting hurt. And everyone is wanting to try to figure out why, as some of the biggest stars of the game, whether it be Gerrit Cole, Spencer Strider, Shohei Ohtani, some of these other big name pitchers that are going down with particularly elbow injuries, but just arm injuries in general. And it's happened rapidly and maybe more quickly than normal. But honestly, there's a lot of arm injuries in professional baseball every year. It's just happening to bigger named players and maybe just a little bit earlier than in previous years. But I think what's getting lost in some of the discussion is what we're seeing in youth baseball, which is why I want to really talk about this. So this is actually a blog that I wrote on our website, and I'm just going to kind of turn the blog into a casual conversation and try to share that same information via the podcast, or if you want to watch on YouTube in case you'd rather listen rather than read what became a very long blog that I wrote going through this. And it's just fresh in my mind because just this week alone, we've had almost 10 kids either in our office or reach out to come into our office with arm injuries in high school, and we're only in week three. Okay. And this is happening a lot. And there's a lot that goes into it. And we need to really dive into it. So some people in the media are kind of describing it as a pandemic. And that might be an over-exaggeration. But since 2016, the rate of Tommy John surgery in MLB pitchers has risen by 29%. And even more concerning is potentially that the rate of re-injury or needing a second Tommy John surgery is rising. This is something that's become very new. Previously, when we would do a Tommy John rehab with an athlete, I felt very comfortable saying, you're almost guaranteed to never need this surgery again. We had relatively long-term data that showed it was a very good surgery that held up for a long time. But what we're seeing is more and more high-level pitchers that are getting second Tommy John surgeries. There's a variety of things going into this, potentially. Some of the things that I'll talk about below of things that are maybe leading to these increased injuries are also leading to increased re-injuries. But one of the things is that we are getting more kids that have Tommy John surgery earlier and then go on to play for a longer career. And those surgeries are just failing. Tommy John used to be a relatively old pitcher injury. You know, it was guys later in their career. That was honestly the initial Tommy John surgery that was done, was essentially Tommy John was either going to retire or have this kind of experimental surgery done. And it worked, right? And that's where it came from. But that's where this surgery really started, was with older players. So they only played, you know, 5, 6, 7 more years after it was done. Well, now that we're getting younger high school players that are getting the surgery, that are going on to pitch in college, pitch in professional baseball, you know, this surgery needs to, for some of them, last 15, 20 years potentially for them, or longer, to get through their career. And it's turning out that perhaps it just might not be holding up quite as well over that long period of time. So why are these injuries increasing? And truthfully, fast forward, I don't have an answer. If you're looking to listen to this podcast and listen to me and expect at the end that I'm going to give you the one thing that we can do to decrease these injuries, you can turn it off right now, because I'm not going to do it. The Major League Baseball and Major League Players Union, they're both blaming each other. The players union's blaming the rules changes. The Major League Baseball is blaming the players for trying to do pitch design work and throw harder. And I think maybe the best quote around this right now is actually from Clayton Kershaw, who's a pitcher for the Dodgers. In a recent interview with The Athletic, he said, "If someone says that I have it figured out, I wouldn't listen to them. I'm very wary of people that think they have it all figured out when all of this is still happening. If you had it figured out, you would have told somebody and made like $1 billion. You know what I mean? No one knows." And I feel that every time that I talk to a family, we are doing our best right now as a baseball industry to guide people to try to look at different ways of doing things, to try to take this from a holistic approach. But I don't have a fast answer. I don't have one thing that you can do. I'm not selling you an online arm care program that's going to keep your arm healthy, or a throwing program that's going to guarantee you won't get hurt, because it's just not that simple. injuries are multifactorial. They are affected by the rules potentially. They are affected by the increased velocity, spin rates, pitch design work. They are affected by kids throwing harder. We've had multiple 15, 16-year-old kids that are throwing 93 that young this year in our office. And it's just, we are seeing this as a spike, and we cannot pick out one given thing. So overall, despite all of our advancements in understanding and pitching, training, biomechanics, et cetera, it doesn't feel like we're moving in the right direction. We know more, but we're not really moving the needle on getting people to stay healthy longer. So what might be some of the things that we can help with? Well, people are talking about the rule changes. So specifically in baseball, the pitch clock has been great for the fan experience. I went to some of my favorite baseball games ever last year with the faster pace of play, and it's great for the TV viewership. So it's, you know, been great for the game as a whole. But some pitchers really feel that the pitch clock is increasing their arm fatigue and increasing their injury risk. The MLB feels that it's not, and they cite one study from Johns Hopkins that showed that it had no impact on injury rates in the minor leagues or in the major leagues since it's been instituted. But we just don't really know yet. And I think it's something that is worth considering as we go forward. But as if one rule change wasn't enough, a couple of years ago, Major League Baseball also cracked down on the pitchers using sticky stuff on baseballs that helped them grip the ball better and increase the spin rate. This was supposed to help increase the offense and make baseball more exciting, but pitchers argued that it affected their command and increased the demand on their forearm muscles. So the argument is if the forearms having to, the fingers are having to grip the baseball harder to spin it without the sticky stuff, that it might lead to greater fatigue, more stress on the elbow, and then ultimately more injuries. We just don't honestly know. But I think it's impossible to say that rules changes don't have an effect. And maybe rules changes, rather than me looking at a negative, should be looked at as a potential way that we could change some of the rules of the game to affect arm injuries. Maybe whether it be pitch counts at younger levels, maybe whether it be the types of pitches, the number of pitches, those types of things at younger levels. We've even talked recently with another local coach that talks about how quickly do we move players to a bigger field, right? In youth baseball. And so I think undoubtedly rules are, you know, going to affect the game. It's going to affect players and stress on their arm. And I don't think we know enough to say that this one rule change made it better or worse, but it is something that I think is worth keeping in mind going forward. And ultimately, I hope that we see the Major League Baseball's Players Association and Major League Baseball itself stop arguing and blaming each other and start working together to try to really study the effects of this so that we can apply this to other levels of baseball. A next factor to consider is increased demand on pitcher performance. Last week, Spencer Strider, who is a star pitcher for the Atlanta Braves and one of the players who just tore his UCL and will undergo his second Tommy John surgery, said that baseball pays for strikeouts. And he is not wrong. It's an industry that has moved forward towards valuing velocity, spin rate, and strikeouts more than the ability to last for nine innings or appear in, more games per year and get up and throw every 4 to 5 days. At every level, from youth to professional, there's an emphasis on throwing hard. When I ask a player how their outing went, very rarely will they say anything other than tell me what their velocity was and how many strikeouts they had. Before they tell me the score or the outcome, that is what is reported, is velocity and strikeouts. And if you want to make varsity, play college, or get drafted, you need to throw hard. It is just the name of the game. In the Major League Baseball, the average fastball velocity was at 90.5 in 2008. And in 2023, it had gone up over 3.5 miles per hour up to an average fastball velocity of 94. So this velocity increase is correlated with increased elbow stress. It's also correlated with improved performance, more strikeouts, and more successful careers. So does throwing hard mean that you're destined to get injured? No, I don't think that it has to. But there is a trend for increasing velocity and increasing injuries. And it is a repeated phrase amongst many of the professional baseball players that we work with that everyone throws hardest right before they blow out. And rather than just accepting this as a baseball industry, whether it be players, coaches, teams, organizations, strength coaches, pitching coaches, athletic trainers, physical therapists, biomechanics, and nutritionists, we need to be looking at how do we help pitchers recover, train, throw, rehab to support the increasing demands on their arm. Simply saying don't throw as hard is not the answer, because no one's going to follow that advice as long as performance is correlated to playing long careers and having a successful baseball life is based on velocity and spin rates and strikeouts right now. So it is our job to try to figure out how do we better protect the arm, or which ones of those variables are where the performance is not worth the increased risk of injury. And right now, we just do not have the answers. Along those same lines, there's been this increased ability to do something called pitch design or pitch shaping. With the improvement and introduction of new technology like TrackMan, Rapsodo into baseball, it has opened up new opportunities for players and coaches to get feedback on their pitches. They are now able to see exactly what the ball does all the way from their hand to home plate. Players can shape or design pitches to be harder to hit by maximizing movement through spin rates and release points. And this has led to a creation of new pitches, like the sweeper or the power changeup. While these pitches are often described as quote-unquote nasty and great strikeout pitches, there are some people in the industry that feel these specific pitches might be leading to more stress on the arm and an increase in injuries. Dr. Keith Meister, the team physician for the Texas Rangers, recently gave an interview for an article in The Athletic where he said that he's seen an increase in arm injuries in pitchers that pursue high spin pitches and that require the pitcher to squeeze the baseball very hard. These pitches are new, and there's been no biomechanical research at this point that shows that these pitches have an effect on injury rate. It's just professional opinion by some of the doctors that do the most surgery on these elbows in the country or the world. There's one other aspect that we don't talk about with pitch design. And what we see is that doing a lot of pitch design work over the offseason will often lead to a player throwing on the mound more over the offseason. That may not be a negative thing, but especially in a youth player, it might be something to consider that doing a lot of pitch design work and throwing more pitches off the mound might increase your overall innings pitched, even if they weren't competitive innings across the course of the season. And maybe they should be factored into your decision on how many innings are you going to pitch in high school or travel baseball, or are you going to play fall baseball? Because your workload is potentially going to be higher by spending a lot more time working on some of these pitch design things. There might also be an argument for what age do we start incorporating pitch design things? Do high school players need to be doing this, or should it be something that's reserved for college baseball or eventually professional pitchers and not getting it as involved at a high school level? These are things that we just don't know, and there's no evidence that these pitches are increasing injury risk, but it is something that is worth studying and looking at going forward. So the next question, kind of building off that, is how much should you throw and when? Every year, the most injuries in professional baseball happen early in the season. In Wisconsin, we see a similar trend in high school players getting hurt a lot at the beginning of the season. We see a big spike the first 2 to 4 weeks of the high school baseball season. So what leads to this? Honestly, more questions than answers typically. What did the player do in the offseason? What type of throwing program did they follow? Did they take a period to completely rest their arm after the last season, or did they throw year-round? Were they working on new pitches or gaining velocities? Did they throw baseballs and play catch, or did they only throw plyoballs and do a lot of drill work? How quickly did they ramp up? Did they stick to their weekly routine when the season started? The simple answer would be to pick one of these things based off your bias and blame it on that. The real answer is likely more nuanced and complicated. Let me give you a few examples of just a few cases that we've seen in the clinic just in the last week. Player A took 8 weeks off at the end of the baseball season. He followed a long toss throwing program, and then he took 6 weeks to build up his bullpen progressions before the start of the baseball season. He threw several sets of live at-bats and worked up to a total of 50 pitches. As the season started, his throwing routine changed, and he stopped his gym-based workout. His first outing, he threw 70 competitive pitches, and then he came into our office the next week with his elbow and forearm being sore. So depending on your personal bias, you could grab any one of those things and blame it on that. He took too much time off from throwing if you're a person that thinks players should throw year-round. He played long toss rather than working on his mechanics with drill work. Maybe he threw too many pitches in his first game if you believe workload is the only solution to the problem. Or he didn't stick to his gym-based workout as the season started, and changing that routine can increase your risk of injury. I wish it was as simple that we could just pick one of those. But to show you how complicated it is, let me give you an example of player B that came into our office. He decided to not take any time off after summer baseball. He didn't play fall ball, but he wanted to keep throwing because he wanted to perform a velocity program to try to improve his performance before the next season. He worked with a new pitching coach, and he spent much of his training time throwing plyoballs, working on his mechanics, and he didn't play that much catch. He regularly started performing run and guns to improve his arm speed and his velocity. And then once he got on the mound, he started working on some pitch design work to incorporate this new velocity with higher breaking pitches that spun more as a result of his increased arm speed. At the end of the offseason, he gained 4 to 5 miles per hour of velocity. As a result of that, he became his team's number one pitching option, whereas last year he was more of a reliever. He set a new PR velocity in his first game out, and after his third start, his elbow started hurting. Again, based off what your bias is, you could pick several things. You could say that it was the pitch design work, or that he tried to throw velocity or improve his velocity. If you believe catch play is great, you might not like that he only threw plyo balls. Or if you think rest is key, you could say that his issue was that he didn't take time off from throwing. You could also say that it was potentially an increase in his workload because he threw more pitches as a starter than he did as a reliever because of his improvement in performance. So hopefully these two case studies show you how difficult offseason decision-making is for baseball players. And currently there is no established quote-unquote best offseason program to follow. Right now, we're recommending that players seriously look at what their goals are, where their performance is, and what they need to do to achieve those goals, and then work with someone skilled in helping to develop their offseason program and making sure that it fits in with what they will be asked to do in their club and high school baseball seasons. The next thing that people want to talk about is mechanics, and that pitchers have, you know, bad mechanics and it leads them to get hurt more, or really good mechanics and it will help them stay healthier longer. This is something that's been going on for a long period of time where people will hold up a pitcher and say, oh, this guy has thrown a long time and never been injured. Examples might be Garrett Cole, who is now on the injured list with an elbow injury. Clayton Kershaw has, to this point, hasn't gone through a serious elbow injury and just had surgery for the first time on his shoulder this offseason. So there might be things that we can learn from there, but there is no one right way to throw a baseball. And unfortunately, you don't get more strikes called because you threw the ball with quote unquote perfect technique. The overall goal with mechanics is to develop a delivery that maximizes arm efficiency or the highest possible arm speed or performance at the lowest possible cost, meaning the least potential stress on the elbow and shoulder. There are many different potential ways to accomplish this while throwing the baseball, and players should not be forced into one methodology of pitching and mechanical design. Players should be allowed to develop their own unique individual movements down the mound that is based off what they're physically capable of. A player that has great hip mobility and elite thoracic spine extension might be able to use a different set of movements than a player that is very tight and restricted in those areas. There are certain movements or positions, some might call them technical flaws, that we see reduce arm efficiency, meaning it either limits their performance or their velocity, or it increases the stress on their arm. Things like flying open, getting your arm up late, or drifting too far towards third base as you come down the mound can be robbing you of performance or increasing the stress on your arm. We encourage all players to go through a 3D throwing analysis or 2D video work with a qualified pitching coach to help maximize their mechanics and to improve their arm efficiency and performance. The next thing is talking about previous injuries. And this is really important as we start talking about what can we do about this and what can we do about it at the youth level. And when we talk about previous injuries, it is the biggest risk factor that we have for future injuries. This might be the most concerning trend that we are seeing is more and more youth players are getting hurt. And this could be what's resulting in some of the increased rise of injuries in professional baseball, because some of the players that started getting injured when they were youth players as, you know, 8-10 years ago are now making it to the major leagues and getting hurt again. So if you had little leaguer's elbow as an adolescent, you're at an increased risk of injury later in your career to that elbow. What if you had a forearm muscle strain? Same thing, increased risk of elbow injury in the future. Maybe you had a Tommy John surgery in college. Well, you now have an increased risk of another forearm muscle strain or second Tommy John injury as you go forward into the future. So please note that an increased risk of injury is not the same as a guarantee for future injuries. But the longer we can put off the first injury, the less amount of time a player will play baseball with that increased risk of having more future injuries. So the more we can protect our youngest players, the better. At this point, for me, it's rare to meet a very talented high school player that throws hard and is a D1 level recruit that hasn't had a period of a forced shutdown for an injury at some point in their career, whether it be a UCL sprain, little leaguer shoulder, little leaguer's elbow, some type of biceps tendonitis issue. Injuries in youth baseball players are very common. A recent study showed that approximately 25.6% of high school baseball players would injure either their shoulder or throwing arm over a 7-year period. The good news is that in those high school baseball players, only about 5% of those players required surgery. But what about the players that went on to play in college? They had an increased risk of surgery for those injuries by 4.3 times. So as they went forward and kept playing longer, their risk of surgery started increasing. By addressing and reducing the injuries at the youth level, we may be able to have an effect at higher levels of the game by sending players to continue playing with a lower initial risk of a future injury. What about arm care routines? There's an increasing trend of online programs being sold that will be arm care routines and help you keep your arm healthy. I think that's a great idea, and I think that a detailed exercise program needs to be a part of your weekly routine, and I think it is better if it is something that's specific to you and your needs. But what I'm seeing right now is a trend of young players that are buying these online arm care routines that are promoted by maybe many professional players, and then thinking that this arm care routine that they bought online is going to protect them from throwing too many pitches, throwing too frequently, not following a detailed throwing program in their in-season or off-season, and doing things that are essentially putting them at risk and accounting for this arm care routine that they bought to keep them healthy. Hopefully, if you've gotten this far in the article or the podcast, you realize that it's more complicated than just that one thing. So arm care routines are crucial, and you need one that is specific to you, but it's not going to save you from some of these other bad habits. So to wrap it up, what can we do? Obviously, if you're getting to this point, you know that I don't have the answer, but here are some suggestions. And here's where I hope that the baseball industry goes. Hopefully, the Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball's Player Association can work together rather than fight each other to study and learn more about arm injuries, the effect of spin, velocity, arm care programs, workloads, off-season throwing programs, etc. Arm care routines are key, but not enough to protect your arm. Youth baseball needs to focus more on maintaining arm health and less on performance and winning games. You need to develop efficient mechanics, but efficient mechanics alone will not protect your arm from improper workloads. The offseason is key, and you need to work with a skilled coach to help you plan your offseason for your specific needs and goals and make sure it fits into your club baseball and high school baseball schedule. Baseball is prioritizing pitcher performance with velocity and strikeouts, and we need to better understand this effect and alter how we do things to keep pitchers on the mound. And rule changes may have an effect on injury risk. Could we use them in the future to reduce risk? Hopefully, these are trends that we see people study, and that the next time I talk about arm injuries, we start having more answers and less questions. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Hey, wait a minute. Are you a baseball player that's getting ready for your season right now? Do you want to learn what it takes to keep your arm healthy and perform at a high level all season long? Let's face it. Injuries, and arm injuries in particular, are only expanding in baseball right now. If you get hurt, it is going to impact your development, your ability to compete and help your team, as well as just the fun of playing the sports you love with your teammates and friends. We have a free online mini course that goes through exactly what you need to do to prepare your arm and to keep your arm healthy all season long. You can find this course and sign up at the link in our bio on Instagram at kinetic_SMP. Or in the show notes to this podcast on any of your major podcast platforms. Hit that link, sign up to get access to the course today.